I am Paul Gibson. I'm with the Health Promotion Unit of the STD Control Branch, California Department of Public Health, and I will be talking about core competencies for providers of adolescent sexual and reproductive health and implications for STD staff training and development. Why is there a need for the development of core competencies? Well, because STD, HIV, and pregnancy prevention programs share overlapping priority populations of youth and young adults, many of whom are members of groups who also suffer disproportionately high rates of STD, HIV, or teen pregnancy, such as African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, and others. Despite these similarities, the services program and programs that target these youth are often organizationally segregated due to narrowly focused funding streams, some of which originate from completely different bureaucracies, for example, HIV-STD funds coming out of CDC, and pregnancy prevention funds, family planning funds coming out of the Office of Population Affairs of Health and Human Services, completely different bureaucracies. Different organizational structures and histories lead to different approaches, standards, guidelines, trainings, and interventions, which can lead to inconsistencies in the continuum of care and variable outcomes when the same adolescents access different services and programs, which often happens with adolescents. The core competencies for providers of adolescent sexual and reproductive health anticipated the development of Dr. Fenton's Program Collaboration and Service Integration, or PCSI, initiative. A key element for the success of PCSI is consistency and continuity of staff capability across different programs. Consistency and capability of staff across HIV, hepatitis, STD, TB, and pregnancy prevention programs can be achieved through the use of competency-based training and staff development activities, because competencies will focus us on essential knowledge and skills that need to be shared among staff from different programs, that is, core knowledge and skills. This is part of the rationale for Dr. Fenton's PCSI initiative, as well as other national efforts that recognize the critical importance of developing competency-based training and the curricula as a foundation for cross-training and service integration. There are many national efforts for this. How many of you are aware of that there are core competencies for public health staff? Good. How many of you are aware that there are core competencies for public health nurses and for epidemiologists and for health educators and others? Okay, so these are all core competencies focused on particular professions or roles. We're talking here about core competencies that focus on adolescent sexual and reproductive health that cross programs. So this really does fit well with the PCSI initiative. One thing we learned very quickly in our work was that the term core competency is a bit obscure and understanding varies greatly, even if you look at the core competencies of the groups that we just mentioned. So let's begin with a definition of terms. In the realm of adolescent sexual and reproductive health, a competency is a benchmark for the knowledge, ability, or skill that a provider should possess in order to deliver effective and appropriate sexual and reproductive health programs and services to adolescents. In other words, the core competencies are benchmarks for a minimum degree of competence. Core means mutually inclusive across each competency domain, which I'll explain soon, and across all provider job types. So in our field, that would be across job types or roles such as DIS, health educators, clinicians, counselors, teachers, etc. Thus, a core competency represents the knowledge or skill that all providers of adolescent sexual reproductive health have in common, as opposed to what makes their jobs distinct from one another. Hopefully this table will explain some of that difference. A core competency, if you look at the top row, is something very basic or fundamental that all DIS nurses, doctors, HIV and pregnancy counselors, educators, and school teachers must know or do in the delivery of their sexual reproductive health programs or services to adolescents. When you look at the bottom row, when job-specific knowledge or skills are added, this separates one job type from another. And then we've moved to a different level and away from core knowledge and skills shared by everyone. For example, if you look at this lower row, not all of these roles, or the lower row here, not all of these roles require group presentation skills or client-centered counseling skills, so the competencies must be mutually inclusive across groups. That's quite a challenge to developing them. The core competencies were developed by a subcommittee of the California Adolescent Sexual Health Work Group, or ASHWG, which you can see here, involves mid-level program managers from the California Department of Public Health, including the STD Control Branch, Maternal Child Adolescent Health Division, the Office of Family Planning, the Office of AIDS, and the California Department of Education, and key non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, all of whom are committed to working in collaboration to more effectively address the sexual and reproductive health of California adolescents. The core competencies were developed over a two-year period through many long hours of work by the subcommittee of ASHWIG, involving three phases of review and feedback. The first phase was with California experts from various disciplines or programs. The second phase was a web-based survey of program managers, teachers, and STD, HIV, and pregnancy prevention practitioners. And finally, a current process is a panel of national experts in adolescent sexual and reproductive health who are still providing feedback on the final revisions for the 2008 edition of the core competencies. Originally, over 150 core competencies were developed, but through the three-phase review process, these were narrowed down to 52 mutually inclusive competencies in five domains: professional and legal role, adolescent development, youth-centered approach and youth culture, sexual and reproductive health, pregnancy, STIs, and HIV. And these are further subdivided into two subdomains: the cognitive subdomain for what a provider knows, and the operative subdomain for what a provider does. We obviously don't have enough time to review all 52 core competencies, so let's look at a couple just to get a sense of what we're dealing with here. Here are two examples of cognitive competencies from the pregnancy, STIs, and HIV domain. I don't know, I think you can probably read this. Competency E2 describes what a provider needs to know about contraception and pregnancy prevention. It reads, summarizes the fundamental facts of hormonal and barrier methods of contraception, including mechanism of action, effectiveness, benefits, risk, et cetera, et cetera. Competency E3, many of you will probably recognize, describes what a provider needs to know about STDs. It reads, summarizes the fundamental facts on STIs, including transmission, signs and symptoms, complications and consequences, et cetera, et cetera. Now, before everyone in the STD field panics about E2 and all of the information on contraception, please recognize that E2 is in the cognitive subdomain, which means that this is basic information that a provider needs to know as a starting point or background of information. She or he does not need to be able to explain, summarize, or discuss this information with an adolescent yet. That would come only when job-specific assignments and training occur, such as for an STD clinician who provides family planning services with an STD program. We also have similar competency for HIV and AIDS. When we developed this, and this was done in collaboration with family planning, STD, HIV, AIDS, people who are on the subcommittee, and I'll acknowledge them shortly, you'll see their names. We said, can this information be summarized on one page fact sheet front and back? And everybody agreed that it could. Now, of course, there's a lot more background information, but we're talking about a core competency here, which is really a starting point to cut across different programs. Another example is competency E7, which is from the operative subdomain, which means E7 represents what a provider of adolescent sexual reproductive health needs to be able to do. E7 reads, discusses the current medically accurate data on the effectiveness of condoms for reducing the chances of pregnancy and transmission of STIs and HIV. We should all be able to do that, regardless of the field. All providers of adolescent sexual and reproductive health need to know, and not only know, but be able to explain and discuss this. Again, this is an operative competency, something that people will do, and that's regardless of their job role. The core competencies, in conjunction with Dr. Fenton's PIXIE initiative and other collaboration efforts, have significant implications for STD staff programs at the federal, state, and local level, such as expanded knowledge and skill sets for STD program staff, as well as for the staff of HIV and family planning programs. A shift to the competency-based job descriptions, orientation training, professional development, performance appraisals, and individual learning plans. All of this can lead to changes in performance measures for programs and health outcomes for priority populations and clients. Thus, the core competencies are not something to be feared. Rather, they should make jobs and job functions more clear and improve training and staff development programs. Likewise, integration of core competencies into these aspects of STD programs create a foundation for new opportunities and new outcomes, such as enhanced staff capabilities through special knowledge and skills shared with the staff of closely linked programs, which prepares STD program staff to address a broader set of client issues than just STDs. This in turn supports increased program collaboration and service integration, which should lead to more consistent services and improved client outcomes across closely linked programs. This presentation has been more of a progress report than the results on a final product. As we said earlier, this is probably going to be a living document as we get feedback on the competencies. As more programs begin to integrate them, we will adjust them on a year-to-year basis. Making core competencies usable and applicable will require more work and ongoing modifications, such as improving, validating, and updating the competencies, designing competency-based training and curricula, integrating, and this is in California, into the maternal, child, adolescent health Title V objectives, where that is the first program in California which has adopted these and put them into their Title V objectives. They are expecting their local health jurisdictions, their subcontractors, to begin to implement the core competencies for their staff who work with adolescents in sexual and reproductive health. And finally, working with ASHWIG, the California Adolescent Sexual Health Workgroup, partner organizations, including the STD control program, to adopt or integrate the core competencies into practice. So, unlike this quote from Zsa Zsa, our work is never finished. Here's my contact information. If you have any questions about the core competencies or ASHWIG, the California Adolescent Sexual Health Work Group, and I would like to acknowledge everyone who's contributed to the development of the core competencies in California. First and foremost are the hardworking members of the core competency subcommittee. You can see they represent quite a range of programs. They are particularly committed and dedicated, especially the chair, John Elfers. We're also very thankful for the time and expertise generously provided by our California panel of external reviewers, who also represent a variety of programs, including high schools. And finally, we're extremely appreciative of the valuable time given to us by our panel of national experts, some of whom are still providing feedback and recommendations, and one of whom is in this room. Thank you for your attention and interest. Any questions, comments?
Yes. Have you had any, it seems to me that the line between counselors and educators is quite fuzzy, and a lot of resistance among counselors who are licensed counselors gives a lot of objection, and so I would think that would be something to be ongoing as family clinics are redefining themselves as educators and not counselors.
Right. Well, and that is one of the, that gets into the, if I can move this back up, that gets into the job specific. We're talking about something, yes, yeah, we're talking about something so basic here that it applies to everybody in adolescent sexual and reproductive health. It's interesting because, again, there are different kinds of counselors. One of the groups that we looked at is the, they've changed their name, it's the Association of Marriage and Family Therapists. They have core competencies, and we have been talking with them. Actually, John Elfers is talking with them about how they went, the process they went through, and we're trying to make sure that our competencies are constructed similar to theirs, as well as to the public health competencies and those for public health nurses and epidemiologists. It's quite a challenge. It's sort of like writing objectives. You know, there are certain keys about, you know, having an action verb and not having more than one action verb and more than one measure to look at. Yes. Other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you all for coming.